Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The text this morning is from the Holy Gospel, the 4th chapter of St. Matthew. Jesus speaking with a woman. Speaking with a woman at a well, telling her that he is her thirst quencher. Jesus is also your thirst quencher. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, even though I took a drink of the thirst quencher and the kids saw it, matter of fact, I took 2 drinks. You know what? I'm still thirsty. That's because this is a marketed item that is designed to sell. And the ad line, Gatorade, the thirst quencher. But as we know, it really doesn't quench our thirst. In a way, it actually makes us more thirsty. And it makes us more thirsty, so we'll buy more of it, and the company will make more money. Thanks be to God that Jesus doesn't do that to us, because Jesus actually gives us living water that truly does quench our thirst. Scripture tells us very clearly, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's because of sin, dear friends, that we have this unquenchable thirst. Human beings are consumed with the thought, with the idea of finding anything or anyone that will satisfy them. Today, in the Holy Gospel, we see ourselves in a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans, like anyone else, they have no right to claim that they are the chosen ones. Not by their actions, not by how they worship, not by how they live. No one can say, and you and I, we cannot say, that we live by bread alone. Yet Jesus tells us that we live by the very word of God. And, yes, we who are thirsty, we find not enjoyment in this, but we find enjoyment, we find our thirst being quenched by Jesus himself. You see, people continue to seek for the ultimate thirst quencher. No, it's not Gatorade, as you've heard. No, it's not anything of this world. No, it's not health, wealth, prosperity, or even status or power. All seem lacking and all are lacking. Eventually, they leave us unsatisfied. They leave us thirsty. You see, we truly are like this Samaritan woman, rushing headlong into a life of sin. Always trying to find the inner strength, if you will, to find a thirst quencher, something that will wash away this inner turmoil, something that will satisfy our inner desire to be accepted. Always trying to find relief, but always searching in vain. It's obvious to us that this woman was a sinner. Why else would she be coming to a well at high noon? It was the custom of the day that the women, or men too, would come to the well early in the morning to draw water. It's the coolest time of the day. But this woman comes at high noon, the hottest part of the day. She comes because she's a sinner. She comes because she's an adulteress. The people know her very well. They too know that she's had 5 husbands, and the man that she now lives with is not her husband. Like the Jews, the Samaritans also had very lax divorce laws. Like the Jews, the Samaritans also looked outwardly religious. You see, this woman, she knew the Ten Commandments. They knew the Torah. She knew the sixth commandment, that she was not to commit adultery, but yet she did. She knew that she was not to commit murder, but in her heart, yet she did. She knew that she wasn't to steal or to covet or to bear false witness, yet like us, she does and did. Ultimately, my dear friends, this all leads us back to the first commandment, doesn't it? When we sin against our neighbor, we are actually sinning against God Himself. We are sinning against God by making ourselves God, telling God that we know better than Him. It's okay if I'm an adulterer. It's okay if I'm a thief. It's okay that I'm a murderer, because your law doesn't really matter to me anyway. I'm a law unto myself. I have this great thing called autonomy. Actually, this woman is no different than you and I. She has become dry bones, scattered, broken, lifeless, completely thirsty. Yet Jesus comes to her. Notice in our text that the woman doesn't seek out Jesus, just as we sinful beings never seek out Jesus. Rather, Jesus sought her. Jesus knew that this woman would be at this well at high noon. Therefore, He was there at high noon. And suddenly, as this woman approaches the well, a man speaks to her. She's dumbfounded. She's astonished. This man speaking to her is a Jew. Not only that, he's a rabbi. This is unheard of. This man is breaking all the social customs of the day. How did she know that he was a Jew? By his language, by his dress. She knew very well who he was, a Jewish man talking to her. And again, she just doesn't know how to react. So she tells him the truth. You're a Jew and you're talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Jesus speaks to her only three words in the Greek. Three words that literally says, will you give me a drink? A question. Actually, if she really knew who this was, as our gospel tells us, she would have asked him the same question. You should give me a drink, O Lord. But then Jesus does something quite astounding. We know as Lutherans, to convict a person, we must preach to them the law. Jesus knows this sinful woman. He knows her very well. But he doesn't begin preaching to her by using the law. Rather, he gives her the gospel. Jesus begins by telling her and witnessing to her the truth of the Holy Gospel. Jesus uses the Holy Gospel to pique her interest, to get her attention. And once he gets her attention, then Jesus can lead her to repentance. Why, this woman has never heard such talk in her whole life. A man standing there wanting a drink of water. He has no bucket. He has no rope. He has no way to get the water out of the well. So how in the world can he receive a drink? Also, this woman has never heard such talk from a man. Why, she was expecting to be ridiculed. She was expecting to be accused. She was expecting to be judged. Yet Jesus very gently leads her to ask, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Even in her repentance, even in her hearing the gospel, she's still thinking of herself. Now it's time for Jesus to give her the law. And how does Jesus do this? Jesus tells her to go tell your husband, to go bring your husband here and let's talk. And her response, she tells the truth. She tells Jesus the truth that she has been married 5 times and that the man she's now living with isn't her husband, and Jesus confirms it. She knows it's the truth. Jesus has just told her that. There's no way that she could wiggle out of this. No way that she can use any kind of human reason to pull herself out of this trap. Jesus has her by the law. He has trapped her with her own words, with the sixth commandment. She's been confronted with her sin. Just like you and I are confronted with our sin each time we hear the law. Each time we hear that we too break the first commandment and the second commandment and the third commandment and the fourth and the fifth. You know what I'm saying. Jesus has now prepared her heart. He has prepared her to hear what she must hear. She has been prepared to hear the truth so that that truth will lead her to repentance. Jesus goes on to tell her that her religion will not save her. So Jesus describes to her what true religion and what true worship truly is. Jesus says to her that you must worship in spirit and in truth. To worship in spirit and in truth, you must drink the living water. My friends, we know that man attempts to seek God and find God in various places and in various ways. Man arrogantly attempts to make a decision for Jesus. Man arrogantly attempts to decide that they are saved according to their own timeline. I was saved on this day, and that was my decision. They proudly announced this to everyone and anyone who will listen to them. But we know it's really a lie. Yet, like this sinner here at the well, the sinful, natural man can never find God. It's only the holy triune God who seeks and finds. Today, the holy triune God sought and found Jordan Monroe Shaver. It was Jesus who came here to this well, to this font, and gave him a drink. He gave to him a drink that will quench his thirst forever, the forgiveness of all his sin. That doesn't mean that Jordan will never have to take a drink of Gatorade, but what it does mean that Jordan now is a child of God. And he can come to his Lord and repent of his sins. And that water, that living water, forgives him. So therefore, we too must worship in spirit and in truth. And we ask the classic Lutheran question, what does that mean? Well, we know that if we worship any other way, it will result in everlasting thirst. True worship of God, my friend, is via the Holy Spirit. And via the Holy Spirit, we know the truth. And the true worship in truth is to know Jesus Christ. To worship God by excluding Jesus is not true worship. I've told Craig already this morning that I've listened to a radio program that has many other preachers from many other denominations. And you know, I would have to keep a tally sheet of the number of times that I hear these preachers never, ever once mention Jesus. They do a lot of talking about themselves, and they do a lot of talking about the congregation, but they never, ever talk about Jesus or his cross or his resurrection. Is that true worship? Jesus is telling this woman, and he's telling you and me, that true worship must be done in the Spirit and in the truth. Jesus tells us that he is the way, the life, and he is the truth. Therefore, any worship without Jesus, by excluding him, is not true worship. So therefore, is it any wonder to any of you why we always begin a worship service in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit? We call upon God, for we know that when we worship him in truth and in spirit, he is present with us. And he is present with us to give us that drink, to give us that drink of living water. And as we hear that all your sin is forgiven, your thirst is quenched, and you don't need to go looking for a drink anywhere else, for you won't find a drink anywhere else that will forgive you of your sins. to a poor, sinful, miserable, sinful Samaritan woman, Jesus fully reveals Himself. He reveals Himself as the living water, of which, when one drinks, will never thirst. My friends, your Lord does the very same thing for you. He comes to you and says, come and drink, as you heard in our sermon hymn, the second stanza. Come and bend down and take a drink of the living water for the forgiveness of your sin. Jordan is now taking a drink of that water. Not in the Jordan, but it's been done to Jordan. Thanks be to God. And just as Jesus brought a despised Samaritan woman into the kingdom and gave her faith and gave her the gift of the Holy Spirit, He has done the same to our brother this morning. And your Savior does the same for each of you. He continues to give to you freely. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to come to the well at high noon and expect to be ridiculed or made fun of. No, you come and you receive freely, because He is there before you even get there. He is already there to give to you freely and to give to you without question. All that He wants, all that He desires, is as with this woman to confess her sin, to agree with Him that she is a sinful woman who has had five husbands and she is now living with a man who isn't her husband. Once we agree with our Lord, He forgives. He gives us a drink of that life-quenching water, that thirst-quenching water that He continues to pour out, and the pouring never stops until He returns. Jesus alone, and He alone, is your thirst quencher. There is none other, for He is the way and the truth and the life, the eternal life, your thirst quencher. Your thirst quencher, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.